Well, good morning, Park Place Baptist Church. Good morning. If you'd rather be here than the best hospital in the state of North Carolina, say amen. Amen. I appreciate the invitation from Brother Thayer, I believe it was, and just the opportunity to be with you on this Sunday morning. At my age, it's good to be anywhere. Amen. So I'm glad to be here with you this morning. These are unusual days in which we're living, and I hope we can address that this morning. If you have your Bible, I want you to find the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 17. Our church, or our home church right now, Brother Chris mentioned being at Southgate. That was a lot of water under the bridge. We were at Southgate and finished our ministry there in 1997, about 24 years ago. Three other churches we served in after being there at Southgate, over in Greensboro, a couple churches, and then 14 years up in Lincolnton at Salem Baptist Church. And then we retired from full-time pastorate January of 2018. Just finished a couple months ago a year-long interim in High Point at Woodlawn Baptist Church. Good little church there that's struggling, but they've got a great pastor. And I pray that for you, that you'll continue to be faithful and wait prayerfully for the man of God that the Lord wants to come be your pastor. Beautiful facility. Just need to get more people in, and you just pray and work hard and be the church that God wants the church to be. Our home church now is Hillside Park over on Holly Grove Road. Dr. Steve Chipp's a great pastor. We just finished this past Friday night our fall revival or Bible conference with Tyler Galdon. He's the pastor over at Church Street Baptist Church. On Sunday morning, he's on at 7 in the morning on Channel 7 on Spectrum, and then at 8:30 on Fox 8 Channel 10. If you've ever seen him preach, you know he has one speed, wide open, and full of excitement for the Lord. Our revival was supposed to have gone from Sunday night through Wednesday night, but Wednesday night the pastor said, I feel led to go another night, so we came back Thursday night, and then Thursday night Pastor Steve said, we feel led to go one more night. So those were revival days that went 2 days beyond. How many you old-timers like me remember days gone by where a revival might go for a couple weeks or more? Hey, we need revival today more than we've ever needed it, I really believe. I ran across this, though, the other day that's entitled, You May Need Revival. So now don't close your Bible, leave them open. I'm about to get there, Matthew 17. But I like to put a little smile on our face and do that today. Let me see the whites of your eyes to make sure you're awake and a smile on your face. Don't sit there like a bump on a Rolaid. You're in the house of God. I believe it ought to be a time of excitement instead of an atmosphere like a funeral. Can I get a witness right there? Listen to this. If someone asks you where you go to church, and you don't know the pastor's name who has been there for years, you may need revival. If you know where your deer stand is, but you don't know where your Sunday school class meets, you may need revival. If you can sit through a 2-hour movie, but complain about an hour church service is too long, you may need revival. If you know where your cell phone is, but you can't find your Bible, you may need revival. And then this one, If you get excited at a sporting event, but can't get excited about Jesus dying for your sins, you may need revival. Matthew chapter 17. Oh, and I turn my page. I bring a few notes to the pulpit so I won't end up chasing rabbits. There was one more on the back side when I flipped over. If you weep over your pet dying, but you can't shed a tear over someone who's lost and going to hell, you may need revival. As saved believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I trust all of you are today, listen carefully. We're not a citizen of this world trying to get to heaven. Rather, we are citizens of heaven making our way through this world. There's an old song, Brother Chris, I imagine you know it. Got lyrics that goes like this. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures aren't laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. How many remember that one, old timers? Raise your hand. Amen. I wish I could sing it, but they only asked me to sing Chris a couple occasions on a hill far away or in the valley alone. That's when they asked me to sing. I was cut out to be a singer, but sewn up with the wrong thread. Okay, Matthew chapter 17. We're living in days still of this pandemic panic. We're also living in days of chaotic crisis. We're still wearing our masks. We're still social distancing. Although this past week, our week of revival, we had crowds. What was it, honey? 350 to 4. Our place was packed there at Hillside. But we're living in these kind of days. I believe we're in a dark hour in our world as well as in our nation. Internationally, nationally, economically, domestically, socially, spiritually, politically, morally, and especially spiritually. Our churches, as I said earlier today, need to wake up, stand up, speak up. We're living, I believe, in the last days. Jesus, I believe, is coming soon. That's our theme for the message today in Matthew 17. But I want to alarm you this morning. Someone has said, I read recently, that in this next year, some 1,200, if not more, Baptist churches will close their doors and turn off their lights for the last time. That means 1,200, if not more, Baptist churches in this next year are going to die and go out of business. Rode by the other day and saw a former Baptist church with a real estate sign in the yard for sale. That's a sad commentary for the time in which we're living. So in times like these, I believe it's always best to maintain a clear head and make a quick look at our Bibles. Matthew chapter 17. If there was ever a time to take a firm hold on our future hope, as Titus calls it, our blessed hope, referring to the return of our Lord, His second coming, phase one, the rapture of the church. You're looking at a preacher who believes in pre-trib rapture. Imminent. Any moment, We could be out of here if you're saved. We could be changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, and out of here and meeting our Lord in the air. There's nothing in the Bible, no sign, no anything that needs to occur before the rapture. The stage has already been set. After the rapture, the seven-year tribulation period, at the close of that, the Lord, listen, in the rapture, He comes in the air, the upper atmosphere, for His saints, for His church. After the seven-year tribulation, He comes back to earth with His church, with His saints, to rule and reign for the 1,000 years, the millennial reign. We as Bible believers have the truth to cling to. We have the inspired, infallible, and errant Word of God. This world is full of lies and deceptions, but you and I should know, ought to know, and cling to the truth. So let's go to our Bibles this morning for a few minutes. I'll be like Elizabeth Taylor told her 8th husband, I won't keep you long, amen. I'll get you out right on time. And so there in Matthew chapter 17, let's just look at some things today I believe will bring us encouragement and hope. How many could use a good dose of encouragement and hope today? Say amen. I believe if we need anything today, we need encouragement and hope to keep on keeping on till our Lord comes back. It's no time to quit and throw in the towel, Park Place. It's time to be looking ahead and looking up with expectancy and anticipation. Matthew 17. The first thing I want you to write down, just 2 points today. Usually we preachers have 3 or 4 points in a poem, but today no poem and just 2 points. Number one, write this down if you're a note taker. Wake up. Time is passing. Matthew 17, notice in verse number one, our text, verses 1-8. After we read them, leave your Bibles open. Because we want to draw out of this text, I believe an expository preacher, we want to draw out of this text our message today. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, that's His inner circle of His disciples, Peter, James, and John, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. And notice, I believe this is one of the most spectacular scenes, special scenes, unusual scenes in all the Bible. We know it as the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus. So notice in verse 2, you'll see that term. And was transfigured. Jesus was transfigured before them. And His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. A spectacular image, a spectacular experience that the Lord had, and Peter, James, and John were there to experience it in a special way. But not only them, stay with me. Notice, verse 3, and behold, take a look, observe, behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, or Elijah, talking with him. Moses and Elijah. More about them here in a moment. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Old Peter, the old man with the hoof and mouth disease, said, Lord, it's great to be here. Let's build 3 churches. One for you, one for Moses and Elijah. Wouldn't you know Peter would say something like that? reminds me of this pastor one time that got lost at sea and ended up on a little isolated island. He was there for over 20 years all by himself. But one day, a rescue ship came by and saw the man standing there at a distance, came over to him and found him and discovered he was a Baptist preacher who'd been lost for over 20 years on this island. So they helped him gather up his little remaining garments and items, and we're going to take him back to the States, back to America, where he'd been. But after being there 20 years, just before they left, one guy noticed three little hut kind of things there on the island. They said, "What are those three places?" He said, "Well, that one there's where I live." They said, "What's that second one?" He said, "That's where I go to church." They said, "What's the third one?" He said, "That's where I used to go to church." Amen. Can't get a witness right there. He couldn't even get along with himself. Three, Peter said, "Let's just build three tabernacles or places of worship." While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, notice, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Does that sound familiar? Same voice came when Jesus was baptized. Remember that. Notice. "And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man." Underline this last phrase, these three words there in verse 8. "Save Jesus only." Father, bless now the reading of your word, your inspired, infallible, and errant word. Touch now and anoint this your preacher, that we may bring to light what we've studied to be a blessing today. And thank you for Park Place Baptist Church, for what it stood for these many years. God, I know they may be in a struggling situation, but God, you can bring revival to any church if we'll just be obedient and submissive to you. So be with this church, take care of its needs, may your will be accomplished in all that it is here to represent in this community. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. The transfiguration of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What's going on in this passage? This is going to be kind of an unusual message. So leave your Bibles open, take a pen or a pad, and stay with me. Here in this situation, Jesus is giving his disciples a preview of his second coming. His transfiguration. Notice that word there in verse 2. His transfiguration was a foretaste of glory divine. This word translated here in Matthew 17 verse 2, "and was transfigured." The Greek word that is translated there in your King James, transfigured, is the word from which we get our word metamorphosis. How many remember biology days or science days, and you learned that word, metamorphosis? What does it mean? It means a change when the inner nature comes to the surface. Let me illustrate. How many knows what the old caterpillar looks like? That old caterpillar, get it right here in a second. That caterpillar's inner nature is that of a beautiful butterfly. When that butterfly comes forth from that cocoon, from that caterpillar, the brilliant color, that brilliant, spectacular color of a butterfly that looks much different than that caterpillar. It experiences a metamorphosis. That inner beauty comes forth. Here Jesus has his inner circle with him. Notice Peter, James, and John, the inner circle. They had the awesome privilege of being there that day on the mount when Jesus was transfigured before them. Not only do I want you to notice the transfiguration of Jesus as a preview of what is to come, I want you to notice when it will come. Now stay with me. Notice in verse 1, now, after 6 days, the number 6 is the number of man. Man was created in the creation account in Genesis chapter 1. Man was created on the 6th day. Now, stay with me. I believe we are living in the fading shadows of the 6th day. The dawning of the 7th day is about to unfold. What do you mean, Preacher Andy? 7 is the number of God. 7 is the number of God, the number of perfection. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, if you want to jot it down, read it later, take my word for it. 2 Peter 3, verse 8, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. Are you with me? There have been 6,000 years of recorded history according to the Bible. There have been 2,000 years, 3 different 2,000 year periods that we call dispensations. We are living, listen, we are living in the time, I believe, that our Lord is about to return in this 7th millennium of the human history. Now, don't sit there and start thinking he's a date setter. I know what my Bible says. Don't ever listen, by the way, to anyone who gives you a date. I remember going back to Southgate days, it was 1988. When we got out of church on that Sunday in 1988, every car in our parking lot had this little pamphlet or brochure or whatever it was. Maybe you saw one of those in 1988. You know what it said? 88 reasons why the Lord was coming back in 1988 or something to that effect. It was a pamphlet for saying 1988 was the return of our Lord. Well, I'm standing in front of you 33 years later, and we're still here. And I know he hadn't come back because I know I'm saved, and I believe probably most of you are saved. So that person was completely wrong. I believe he came back the next year and said, I was wrong, and it's 1989 that he's coming back. Here in this same book, just flip over to Matthew chapter 24. I believe one of the most paramount chapters in all the Bible if you want to know the signs of the seasons and the nearness of our Lord's coming. The great teaching called teaching of the Olivet Discourse down on the Mount of Olives. Come down to verse 35 and 36. Matthew 24. And find verse 35. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. When it's time for Jesus to come back, the Father's going to look to the Son at His right hand. For the Bible says Jesus is seated at the right hand of His Father this very day, making intercession for you and I. And one day the Father will look at the Son and say, Son, it's time. Go get your bride. But He's not coming back until the Father tells Him so. No man knoweth the day nor the hour. But we can know the signs of the seasons. The fig tree, for example, which I believe represents Israel. May of, 1948? Overnight, literally overnight, Israel was reborn as a nation. A spectacular miracle, a supernatural miracle. That was the rebirth of a nation. Literally overnight. So number one, wake up, time is passing. Secondly, write this down, look up, Jesus is coming. Now notice here in this text, first of all, the three witnesses, Peter, James, and John. Why three witnesses? I believe it's more than just they were His inner circle. Do you realize this morning, three is the number of witnesses in Scripture? These three witnesses tell us we should be looking for the return of our Lord, that God has witnesses today who are preaching this truth. And I've been preaching for over 40 years the nearness of the coming of Jesus. Well, preacher, He hadn't come, but let me tell you this morning, it's 40 years closer. You better not start getting ready. You better be ready. Because when it happens, it's going to be in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Not only three witnesses, but notice here in this text, there were two participants in His transfiguration. Moses the lawgiver and Elijah the great prophet. Now wait a minute. Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. They had been on earth centuries before. And now here they appear with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. I believe Moses and Elijah will be the two witnesses that will preach for 3.5 years there in the first half of the tribulation period. Revelation chapter 12. Why do you believe that, preacher Andy? Because the Bible says one had the power to turn the water into blood, and the other had the power to bring down fire from heaven. Hey, if they appeared once together, they can appear again together. Moses and Elijah. What's the significance of these two participants? Stay with me. They represent the world when Jesus comes back in the rapture. They represent the saved world. Friend, this morning by chance, and I've learned a long time ago, never assume that everybody's saved. You may have your name on this church roll. You may have been baptized in the baptistry behind me or somewhere else. You may have a position in this church, but all of those are great, but they do not save you. Have you had a personal experience with Jesus? Can you remember a day and a time and where you were that you accepted Christ and you got saved? Only the saved will be raptured. Those without Christ will be left behind. Those who have died like Moses will be resurrected. Those who have not died like Elijah, remember Elijah was caught up, did not die. Picture the rapture. Let me tell you my favorite, one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible to preach, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you flip over there, just go to the right, beyond Matthew, well beyond Matthew, and you'll find 1 Thessalonians. It comes just before 2 Thessalonians. Can I get a witness right there? Chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, one of the two what I call rapture chapters. The other is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 53. But notice what Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, and it's just for us today as well. 1 Thessalonians 4, 5 verses 16 and 17. For the Lord Himself, that's the Lord Jesus, He's not going to send a special angel. He's not going to send a search committee. The Lord Himself, the one with nail-scarred hands, who ascended back to heaven 2,000 years ago in Acts chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11, where the messenger angel said, "Why do you men gaze upward? This same Jesus who you see go in this manner shall so come back in like manner." In other words, in the cloud. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, church, that will be. For the Lord Himself, notice, shall descend from heaven with a shout. What will that shout be? Maybe something like this. Church, arise. And notice the sequence of this event known as the rapture. With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And notice here it is. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. That means every believer who has died from Pentecost to that moment are going to come out of their graves. I want to tell you this morning, if they were blown away in war, God supernaturally will regather their bodies to meet their spirit that's gone ahead of them. Listen, what happens to a believer when they die? Absent from the body, what? Present with the Lord. That spirit comes back and has that reunion with that resurrected body that will be incorruptible and immortal, 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 53. The dead in Christ shall rise first. It doesn't matter if they've been cremated and they're in an urn on the mantle of Grandma's living room. They're coming out. Can I get a witness? Just like Moses died, those who died in the Lord at the rapture will be resurrected. Then look at verse 17. Then means after that which has occurred. Then we which are alive and remain. Now I'm praying I'll be alive at the rapture. But I want to tell you, my wife for years worked at Holly Hill Cemetery, family service. She met with families at time of death, helped them with that process of burying, all of that. While she was working there, became good friends with funeral directors, particularly Brother Robert there at J.C. Green's. We have all of our arrangements taken care of. I don't know where it is, but she could drive me today, this afternoon, to Holly Hill and drive me by and walk me over to the place where I'm going to be buried. Now, that'll bless your heart right there, amen, to see where you're going to be buried. We've been in the back room of J.C. Green's and got all that picked out. That back room will really bless your heart. Can't get a witness right there. So when I pass away, if you come to my service, don't you dare walk by and look in and say, don't he look good? You need to tell me that right now. We which are alive and remain shall be. Now the people out there say, well, the word rapture's not in the Bible. Well, you're right, but you're wrong. Notice the next phrase. Shall be caught up. The Greek word is harpazo. It means caught up, snatched away, or raptured. Caught up. Together with them, those who've been resurrected, the dead saints who've been resurrected, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, if that don't excite you today, your excitement button needs to be pressed. Deuteronomy 34, verse 5 tells us that Moses died in the land of Moab and was buried in Mount Nebo, and it was God who buried him. 2 Kings chapter 2 tells us of the account that Elijah did not taste death. Rather, there appeared a whirlwind, and Elijah rode a chariot of fire into heaven. He was raptured. One participant in the transfiguration was raised, that's Moses, the other was raptured. So listen carefully this morning. When the rapture occurs, you and I will either be in the Moses crowd, we will have died, and then we'll be resurrected, or we'll be in the Elijah crowd, we'll be alive. And I really believe, I've got a pretty good strong belief and a hope that I'll be alive at the rapture. I believe it's that near. Again, no date setting implied. I just look around at our world and it tells me how much more, how much worse can it get? How close are we to the rapture? Three witnesses, two participants, but again, look at how verse 8 ends. This is the key to it all. And when they had lifted up their eyes, namely Peter, James, and John, they saw no man. Moses and Elijah were gone. They just came there, I believe, to minister to Jesus, but now they're gone. Who do Peter, James, and John see? Save Jesus only. Save Jesus only. People say the world needs saving. But where is redemption and salvation going to come from? There are some who say Allah. There are some who say Muhammad. There are some who say Buddha. There are some who say New Age movement. To all of those, I've got a fancy Greek word I learned at Luther Rice Seminary many years ago. You know what that fancy Greek word is? Hogwash. It's save Jesus only. Jesus said of himself, John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by or through me. Acts 4, verse 12 says, there's no other name under heaven whereby men, women, boys, and girls can be saved other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone has said, today our world is falling apart. I say to you this morning, Park Place Baptist Church, our world is not falling apart. Our world is falling into place. Jesus is coming. And he may be coming sooner than we think. We're not looking for something to happen. We are looking for someone to come. Save Jesus only. Are you ready? He's coming back. Would you stand to your feet? I just want a hymn of invitation. My favorite is Just As I Am, Without One Plea. I don't know what your need is this morning, but I can tell you this. I believe any church can have revival. I don't want you to lose your hope. I don't want you to be disheartened. I imagine most of you in the room can remember in years gone by, and not really that many years ago, when there were many more in this building than there are today. Guess what? You can see those days again if you have faith, trust, and hope. These are not days, these are not times to throw in the towel, to give up and quit. These are days to roll up our sleeves, and we have a work to do till he comes back. It's called the Great Commission. You'll find it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jerusalem, Samaria, the uttermost part of the world. You're part of his church, Park Place. You have a work to do. It's sad to look across and see old Kern Street School. Used to be, years ago, a rather magnificent, significant building of education. Now it's over there, the charred remains still standing to remind you of some things. But you're here in this building. And around this community are probably lost people by the scores. They need to be reached because he's coming back. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Today, if you're not a Christian, it's as easy as ABC. Acknowledge you're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe what the Bible says, Jesus and Jesus only. Save Jesus only. And C, confess him as your Lord and Savior.